This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito here. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Friday morning, Friday afternoon, maybe 11:45. Perhaps it's Friday evening at 8:45. We've been on the air for some 16 years now at 8:45 Friday evening. God bless you, all my friends out here on WMIE at 8:45, and all of you, thanks for tuning in here today to WGOD. And forgive me for my laziness here that I haven't been able to prepare something new. Just been a very trying week for me here this week. And we're going to go back and hear something I preached in November of last year. It's the very first program in an odd series I've been doing. It's called What'll Be the Signs, or Take Heed That No Man Deceive You. So I cut out the introduction, which was inviting you to church this weekend for the Book of Romans, because I invite you to church here this weekend, this last weekend in September, for the Book of Revelation study, because that's where we're at here now. And we're in chapters 16 and 17, actually in 18, in Revelation. We're looking at the judgment and the fall of Babylon. You're invited. Love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30. So that's where we're at church. The following week, we'll be up to chapter 19 and the return of the Lord Jesus. Finally, after everything we've been looking at, we're going to see the Lord Jesus returning on a white horse and his saints with him. And the Bible says he's going to slay the Antichrist and the evil with the two-edged sword that comes out of his mouth. In other words, all he has to say is drop dead. First time he was here, he would say, "Peace be still," and "Talitha Kumi," that is, "little girl, arise." But this time when he's coming back, if you're not coming back with him, or if you've taken the mark of the beast, when he comes back, he's going to slay everyone with the words of his mouth. A double-edged sword is the word of his mouth, because Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God, and he has the ability to create and destroy with the words out of his mouth. Like, he can walk up to a fig tree and say, "May no fruit ever grow on you ever again." And that's all she wrote. And that's how it'll be here at the end of the age when he comes back. So again, we're looking at people that refuse to repent amidst all of this. And the Lord showed me one day over a year ago that the people don't repent at this point because they can't repent. Because repentance is a gift. The early church used to pray for tears of repentance. Because there is no fire insurance. You can't confess with your mouth what you don't believe in your heart. That doesn't count. You have to believe it in your heart first and then confess it. And the people at the end of the age, they don't confess. Even with everything going on around them, they don't, because they can't, because the Holy Spirit's not convicting people of sin anymore. That's where your repentance comes from, and that's where your conscience comes from. Your conscience, friend, is a gift of God. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, uses your conscience to lead you to repentance. And here at the end of the age, we're not seeing that anymore. So that's the reason why we're seeing all this judgment and people not repenting anymore of their sins. Because, and for a good example of that, look around. Look around today and look around at all the evil in the world. Look around at all the evil people out here that don't give a rip over what they do. Because, and we read too in Romans chapter 1, of certain group of people and peoples where the Lord has given up on, unfortunately. But that's his call, and he does as he sees fit. He is God. We know he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but there comes a time where, you know, the Bible says that people have their consciences seared with a hot iron. So, okay, that's where we're at this week. Now, here today, we're going back to the very first part I recorded back in November of an odd series to play in between programs entitled What Will Be the Signs of Your Coming. So we're going to go back. Let's hear part one from that now. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Look for that sermon online here starting Monday morning. Love to, or on the podcast on Sunday afternoon. In the meantime, here today, Matthew chapter 24, we're going to take some time, start to go through this. Verse 3, now as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? Okay, we're going to have to go further than that, huh? Now Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, that by no means will a stone be left here upon a stone, which shall not be thrown down. All right, now that's how this chapter starts. Got to understand the significance. That's like someone, a prophet, saying to you, prior to September 11, 2001, do you see these two buildings here? Well, the time is coming when neither one of these buildings is going to be standing. That's the shock factor of what he said, pointing out this magnificent temple is the house of God, too. Who could ever harm that? Who could ever come up and hurt the house of God or destroy that? God dwells there, right? So that's the significance. That's the shock factor of what he said. Do you see all these things? I say to you that by no means, that's a double negative in the Greek. Ume, that means he's getting excited. His veins coming out of his neck on that one. By no means, if I had a gavel, I'd slam it. You can bet your sweet bippy, I guarantee the time is going to come. There's not going to be one stone left upon another here. Now, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what, when and what, you see that? When will these things be? And more than one question here, when will one stone not be left upon another? When is this temple going to be destroyed? And then second and third question, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Three questions. When will the temple be destroyed? What will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end of the age? Now, you have to go to more than one place to answer this question. For instance, if you read in Luke chapter 17, you might get confused. In Luke, he is going to talk more about when the temple was going to be destroyed, which is why he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then understand its desolation is near. That's not in the Gospel of Matthew, because we know that the Bible enhances. We know it's in layers. There's some in Luke, there's some in Mark, and there's more in Matthew here. All put together, it makes one story. Factual story. Historical a story, let's say, account. So don't get confused when you read in Luke 17 when he says that. Actually, it's Luke chapter 21, verse 20. It says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has drawn near. For these are the days of vengeance to fulfill all that was written. That was verses 20 and 22. So Luke reads a little different because Jesus is addressing the first part of that question there. Jerusalem surrounded by armies, that was going to happen and that would be fulfilled on, I think it's the ninth day of Av, which is each time the temple's been destroyed, it was on the same day. Even in 586 AD when Nebuchadnezzar sacked and burnt the temple down, it was on the ninth of Av. The same day Emperor Titus and Vespasian destroyed the temple in 70 AD was exactly the same day on the Hebrew calendar, the 9th of Av, that Nebuchadnezzar did that. So, what will be the sign of your coming? Or when will these things be? When will one stone not be left upon another? Now, that's already been fulfilled, obviously. The temple has been destroyed. What'll be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? You see, that hasn't happened yet. Hello, we're still around. We're still waiting for this to be fulfilled. So now he's going to go in order and give a blow-by-blow description of the things that are going to happen here right out of the mouth of the greatest prophet who's ever lived, the Son of God, who is the Word of God, is going to tell us the things that have to happen prior to his return. And I think this is high time again to look at this with everything going on in the world. Sometimes, I don't know about you, I'll speak for me, is I get numb to all the evil that I see. And I refuse to even read the news story sometimes. This latest was what happened in Texas here with some atheist, some demon-filled person went in and killed a whole lot of people in the church. And we get numb to these things. And I just want to remind everyone out there that these are some of the signs that Jesus talked about. And these are some of the things that help us to know and to see that his return is near. So now for Jesus' answer, when will these things be? What'll be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. First thing that he says, what we're going to close on here today on this Thursday, take heed that no one deceive you. The Esposito definition of deceive, here it goes. Are you ready? It's to think that something is something while something is actually something else. Let me say that again. To be deceived is to think that something is something while something is actually something else. You read in history, people who have been deceived. You go all the way back to the garden. Eve said the serpent deceived me. She thought something was something. She thought that the tree of knowledge was beneficial and was going to help her. She thought that something was something, while something that is breaking the commandments of God was something else. The something else led to her death, led to the infection of the entire human race. Also, Judas Iscariot did the same thing. We read about him. He was deceived. It says in Matthew chapter 27, the first three words is when he saw what had happened to Jesus, he hurled the money in the temple and shouted out and said, I've sinned. I've sinned. I've betrayed innocent blood. You see, Judas was deceived into doing what he did. The Lord Jesus Christ's number one warning for you today, everyone out there within the sound of my voice, take heed, beware, look out, be careful, ensure that no one deceives you. Do not be deceived. We're going to look here. We get to Antichrist, Revelation chapter 13. It says he deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. He calls fire down out of heaven. He deceives billions that live. That'll be a study for another day. But the first thing that he says in my advice and admonishment and warning to you today, friends, take heed that no one deceives you. To think that something is something. My encouragement to you is know the Word of God. Spend time in the Word. This is how you can identify the counterfeit, is by knowing the original. We're out of time. We'll be back right here tomorrow in Matthew chapter 24. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio.